We're going to learn about a man who learned that the hard way. And I'm just going to plead with you now, as you're turning to 1 Samuel 30, to not learn the hard way. You don't have to learn the hard way. But if it takes it, you should hope that God teaches you the hard way. The only other option is to not learn it at all. And there are many people who are there as well. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Whenever you find that, if you wouldn't mind to please stand for the reading of the Word of God this afternoon. First Samuel chapter 30. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men would come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, you don't know what Ziklag is, what it represents yet, but hopefully you know right now, that's a bummer, right? City's on fire. Got burned down. Verse 2, it doesn't get any better. And they'd taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so the city's burnt down, the women and children have been taken. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The only people that were left were his mighty men. And now they're turned against him. Yeah, there's a reason for all of this. We'll talk about in a second. Because the soul of all the people agreed, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Verse 10, and David pursued, he and 400 men, with 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over to Besor. The story goes on that eventually David found the Amalekites and took back what he had lost, the women and the children and the spoil. So ended it well, but there was a big, long period of things that he did not need to go through to get to this place. And so we're going to preach a message entitled this, Stability During Unstable Times. And I would really, you could even switch the title, I don't know which one's the subtitle, but don't learn the hard way. Don't learn the hard way. That's what David did here. He learned the hard way. You don't have to do that. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how you work in hearts. Thank you for how you work in the hearts of our youth. And God, I think maybe one of the most exciting things about YouthCon and the decisions that we made is potentially there's many lives that will not have to learn the hard way. And I'm thankful for our youth and decisions they've made. I pray that you help them to stick with it and just trust you and avoid a lot of the pitfalls and the regrets and the pain that many face because they went ahead and made decisions that caused them to learn the hard way. Pray that you help me as I preach this message. Help us to be attentive to it. Help us to, in our hearts, say yes already to what you're going to speak to us about. Christ in my pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, David. This is a surprising story. David, when you think about David, he's the one that God used. He was the one after God's own heart. He's the one that slew Goliath. He's the one that was a champion of Israel. David is our hero, and still even in the New Testament, Christ is the son of David, and as we reminisce on David's life, we think of the hero David. Well, David had some problems, and David, you know, he sinned with Bathsheba, but this is well before he even became king. This is well before that, and David, you know the story, I'm going to be as quick as I can with this, but David was anointed to be king. King Saul was the king. King Saul denied God and wanted to do things his own way, so God took the kingdom from King Saul, gave it to David, And since then, King Saul was chasing David. And many of you are familiar with that. And King Saul was chasing down David, trying to pin him to the wall a few times. And David didn't do anything to deserve this, but King Saul was after him. And that's a pretty scary time, you can imagine. Maybe the most powerful man on the planet after you for your life. And David's running, hiding in caves. But for the most part, as you follow David through this journey, he follows the Lord and he has faith in God. And some of the greatest psalms in the book of Psalms were David writing to God about how God protected him and how God is good to him and God blessed him while he's on the run from King Saul, hiding in caves. And David had a good testimony for the most part. Well, as you know, possibly a couple times, David had opportunity to kill Saul. We won't get into that, but the first time David had opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't, and then showed himself to Saul and said, basically, hey, Saul, I could have killed you, but I'm not going to, because God doesn't want me to do that. I'm not going to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. And King Saul told David, he said, you know what? I've been wrong. And you're king. I'm not supposed to be king. I'm not going to chase you anymore. You can imagine David like, oh, praise the Lord. This is so good. Well, it wasn't too long after that Saul was after him again. And he went back on his word. And it came around a second time where David had opportunity to kill Saul again. And again, he didn't, because he was trusting God to do that, to take care of this and put David in when it was God's time as king. You know, it would have been really easy. It would have made life a lot easier, wouldn't it have? And he could have fully justified it in his mind, that he's not even supposed to be king. He's trying to kill me. This is kind of sad. He could have, and his mighty men tried to get him. Go ahead, David, just take care of it. We can march into Jerusalem and be king right now. But he wouldn't do it. And again, he told King Saul, I'm not going to kill you because I'm not going to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. Well, what happened after that? King Saul again said, just like he did last time, well, you know what, David, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm not going to chase you. Well, here's the problem. Here's what David did after that. Go to verse 27. I'm chapter 27. We're just kind of working our way up to our passage today. Chapter 27. When you're there in verse 27, go back one verse, verse 25. And again, this is when Saul finds out David didn't kill him for the second time. And Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Oh, David, I love you. You're like my son, okay? This is the guy that already told him once he wasn't going to kill him and then chased him again. And he said, thou shalt both do great things and also shalt prevail. So it sounds like Saul's again going to go ahead and leave him alone. Well, David's heard that before, right? And returned to his place. Chapter 27, verse 1, here's what David said. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Hold on. Pause. Saul's been chasing him for a long, long time. He hadn't died yet. And he's been trusting God to keep him safe throughout this whole time, running from Saul, hiding in caves and doing what he's doing. And now it's like he lost faith in God right here. He said, I shall now perish. Now David's been clinging to the promise that God gave him. God said, you're going to be king. Well, it's going to be hard for him to be king if he dies by the hand of Saul, right? And David was clinging to that. And David had faith that God was going to keep him alive and keep his promise and make David king. Well, right here, he says, I'm going to die. Well, that flies in the face of God's promise. Did God stop promising that? No. But David lost faith in what God's promise was, didn't he? And now he said, well, now I'm going to die. Here's what he says. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape from the land of the Philistines. You hear what I just said? I don't know if you've ever caught this Bible reading. When I studied this, I was blown away by this story. But David said, I'm going to die by Saul. God's not going to protect me anymore. You know what I need to do? I need to go to the Philistines? You remember the Philistines? Remember the song that Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s? Do you know who they were killing? The Philistines. That's the enemy. And David says, if I'm going to stay alive, I got to run to the Philistines. Can I say this? Sin makes you kind of dumb. When you lose faith in God, you make some really dumb choices. And so he said, I got to go there. And he said, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore at the coast of Israel. He said, Saul's going to chase me all over Israel, so I got to go to the Philistines. No, he didn't. He needed to trust the Lord. But that's not what he did. You know, it gets way worse than that. Here's what he does. He goes to the Philistines. He gets with the king, Achish, of Philistines. And him David and the king of Philistia are like buddy-buddy now. And David gets in with the king of Philistia. Yeah, the same king that David's been killing all of his people. And now David and the king of Philistia are together. And the king of Philistia gives him a town called Ziklag. Town we read about? The king of Philistia gave David Ziklag. And he said, you can have Ziklag. And David said, great. And he goes to Ziklag. And he makes himself a good little kingdom there in Ziklag. And for, listen, a year and a half, David is chilling in Philistia, thinking he's doing right, because God hadn't judged him yet, and things seemed to be going pretty well. And for a year and a half, David is in Philistia, away from God's people, and living it up with King Achish. Is that crazy? You know it gets worse than that? Because a year and a half later, the Philistines go to battle with Israel. And you know what David does? He goes to the king and says, I'll help you fight Israel. Yeah. I was like, what? I honestly didn't, I don't know about you, but I skipped this. I don't know how I missed this in my Bible reading. What in the world? David is now helping he's helping Philistia fight Israel. He wants to. Can I say this again? Sin will make you say and do some dumb stuff. And you shouldn't ever be surprised, like, oh, I can't believe that this person did that. Well, it's because sin will make you do some pretty dumb stuff. And if David, the hero, the David has killed his 10,000 Philistines, is now on the Philistine side fighting Israel, if David can do that, you can do that. And David, and you lose faith in God, and it won't be long before you're doing some pretty dumb stuff. He goes to the king and he says, hey, I'll help you fight Israel. The king's like, here's how it gets, you listen to this. So then, you know, the king's like, David, I would love, you and me, we're homies, you know, me and you. I would love for you to come and fight with me, but the Philistines, they don't like you. They don't trust you. They think that you're going to kill them all on the way to Israel. And so I trust you, but the Philistines, they don't trust you. So you need to go back. And David's like, okay, God, I won't fight Israel. And he goes back to Ziklag. And when he gets back to Ziklag, that's where he picked up. You remember what happened? Ziklag was burned down by the Ammonites. The women and children were taken captive. His own mighty men turned on him. Why? Who are these women and children of? The mighty men. They're mad at him. And they're like, David, this is all your fault. And for a year and a half, he had this little self-made paradise away from God, thinking that as long as he look at this life away from God, it's not too bad. A year and a half, I've been doing great, doing my own thing. Can I warn you?
Yes.
At first, it seems like it's going to be pretty good, but there's coming a day where it's all going to fall down. And David left God, fled to Philistia, thinks he's doing good, and suddenly out of nowhere, the city is gone that he built for a year and a half. His women and children are gone. Even his closest confidants are finding out, no, David, we're not for you. And David is crushed. And you might be right now thinking, you know, I'm doing my own. You know, I've heard what Pastor said. I heard what Brother Chad said. But I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I've been doing it. Seems fine so far. There's really, really two important words, so far. I'm telling you, don't do this. David didn't have to wait to this point. David could have came back to Israel any time, and God would have not had, he wouldn't have to go through all this. But he kept emboldening himself against God and thinking, I'll just do my own thing. I know what God says, but I feel like I have a better plan here. And I'm going to go ahead and keep doing this. I know God wants me to be in church, but you know what? I've got too many other things. Am I getting on some toes? I know that God says I should be in church. I know that the church is what God died for. I know that the church is where I get to hear from the Lord. I know that church is where I get to encourage each other with my brothers and sisters. Church is where we get to praise God corporately because he's worthy. But you know I got a football game. Or you know I got a family thing. Or you know I got this or that. And we say, you know what, I know what God wants, but I mean, really, I don't really have to do that. And then you don't do it, and then it seems everything's good. Well, I'm just telling you, there's going to come a day where there's a phrase that says, the more you miss church, the less you miss church. And as you start missing church, seemingly, listen, seemingly, in a sense, what's the word I'm looking for? Where it's like not a big deal. Innocently? It seems innocent and like seems like you have a really good idea, a good reason for missing. I'm just telling you that as you continue to do that, you're going to wake up one day and everything's going to fall down. And you're going to find, and you're, one day you're going to wake up and you can't remember the last time you've been in church. You see? You know, God wants me to tithe, but come on, inflation. Come on, Joe. There's inflation and I can't handle this. And there's so much I need to pay for now, and gas is up and food is up. I can't afford to tithe. Well, I'm telling you, you can not trust God with your finances, and it probably will work out for you for a little while. But there's coming a day where it's going to... I know God wants me to read my Bible, and he wants me to pray and communicate with him every day, but I really have a lot on my plate, and my mornings are really busy. And, you know, I might never get all my stuff done if I spend half an hour with God. You can live that way for a little while, but I'm telling you that you're going to wake up one day, and you're going to be far, far, far from God. And wish you had that walk with him like you did. I know God wants me to wait for the right person to marry. But this person seems nice, and who knows if anybody else will ever notice me. I think it'll be all right. I'll just talk to him back and forth, talk to her back and forth. We can, you know, we won't text a lot. We'll text a little bit and then a little bit more. And then now we're texting all the time. And one day you're going to wake up, and it's everything you thought you were going to have is just... When you go your own way without God, it might work out for a little while, maybe even a long while, but I promise you, eventually, if you don't get it right, it's going to crumble. It's going to crumble. I know this sounds simple, but you're not smarter than God. And David kind of thought, isn't that what David did? He thought he was smarter than God. I know God said he'll take care of me, but I feel like I need to go to Philistia. Well, God never told me to go to Philistia. He never even asked God if he should go to Philistia. He's not smarter than God, and neither are you. You don't have this life figured out. You don't have to try to live your life your own way. It's never going to turn out like you thought. But God has a better way for you. And God's there waiting to guide and direct. Well, David did that, and his life crumbled. And now he gets to verse number, where are we at now? Sorry, I'm beginning. My notes are gone. I don't know where. Let's see. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Well, yeah. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. Here's what the Bible says David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's a really important statement. When he says encouraged, that means he fasted on, he clung to, he seized. And, you know, I've heard this quoted in a way, you know, whenever you serve the Lord, you know, people are going to come against you. And, you know, when you serve God, there's going to be opposition, and it's going to be hard when you serve God. And so you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Actually, that's true, but that's not what this passage is talking about. When you messed up your life because you wrecked it, and you made a bad decision a year and a half ago, and it's catching up with you, and everything's starting to fall down, then here's what you can do. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Because other people can mess up your life, but you can mess up your life pretty good. And when that happens, here's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he clung back to the Lord. He held tight to God, and he realized that all the things that he had to do and the places he thought that he had and everything he thought was important to him weren't important anymore. And the only thing that was important to David was doing whatever God wanted him to do. And for 2 years or a year and a half, he's been doing what he thought was best. And he's finding out the hard way that that's not going to lead anywhere good. And David has found that out. And now David is clinging to God. And he doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. He doesn't care what he thinks is good or not good. Here's all David cares about right now. What does God want from me? And this is why David is a hero today and Saul is not. Because Saul did that. But he kept doing it and kept doing it until he died. A shameful death. But God woke up David, and David responded right, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah. And then what did he do? Look at verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod, to David. And David inquired at the Lord, hey, there's something he hadn't done in a long time. Now he's coming back to God. He doesn't just come back to God, but he goes through a lot of trouble, doesn't he? He says, hey, get the priest and have the priest get the ephod and bring me the ephod. And this, here's what he's doing. He's humbling himself and saying, I'm gonna come to God God's way right here. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to find out what the Bible says, and I'm going to come straight to God God's way, and I'm going to beg God for help. And I'm thankful we don't need a priest, and we don't need ephod, we don't need all this stuff, but there is a heart that we need when we come to God. When we've messed up our life, which we do often, we need to cling to God, and we don't need to go to God and say, God, can you fix this for me? That's not necessarily what God's looking for. When we come to God, we need to come to God humble, say, God, I'm doing wrong here. I messed up. And we have a heart that's broken. God says the brokenhearted he will not despise. God says that blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And if you come before God broken and contrite, and you ask for his help, God's excited. Because he's ready to help. And that's what he did. And God, and so he came to God and he said, God, I need your help. And he called out to God. And then here's what he did. In verse 8, he inquired to the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Before, David had been like, they stole my stuff. They stole my family. I'm getting them. Yeah. David didn't do that. He calmed down. He said, I don't care what I want. God, do you want me to pursue them? And if God said no, I believe David would have just let it go and lost everything he had. Because David wasn't about whatever he thought was best. David was ready to do anything God wanted to make it right with God. He was ready to do anything God asked. But God said, pursue. And so you know what he did? When he heard from God, he did what God said. And you know what happened? God was with him. And he found his stuff. And he found his family. And he took it back. And you know what's really cool? What happened? I'm about done. You know what's really cool? Right after that, he became king. Right after that, he became king. Brother Chad, he was where for your nap? Philistia. That's pretty bad. Yeah, it is. But God's not looking for people who haven't done bad things. God's looking for people who have done bad things, because that's all of us, but that are willing to bow before God and cling unto him and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then when you do that humbly, truly in your heart, not just to show so everyone sees you, but so that God, you're humble before him, and you say, God, I've really made a mess of my life, but I really need your help right now. That's when God gets excited. That's when God gets involved. And that's when God's ready to do some pretty awesome things in your life. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It's time for you to cling into the Lord. It's time for you to bow low, humble yourself before him, and say, God, what do I do now? God will show you. God will show you. You might be here, you know what the devil does is he tries to tell you, you know what? No, you've gone too far now. The devil would love for you to think that. And the devil would have loved for David to think, you know what? This is all my fault. So I'm just going to sit here in my burned down city and wallow in self-pity because I did this. And Satan would have loved that. And if David would have done that, he wouldn't have been the greatest king that Israel's ever had. And if David wouldn't have done that, he wouldn't have probably had the lineage. And then the Messiah, I think God probably could have figured that out, but you know what I mean. Is that he could have just wallowed in self-pity and said, I wrecked my life, it's over now, I can't do anything. But no. Here's what he did. He just fell down on his face, and he said, God, I messed up, but I'm ready to follow you. That's what you need to do. And you don't have to wait till Ziklag burns down. Don't wait until Ziklag burns down. You probably already felt some of the consequences for the stuff you've been doing, and I'm sure David felt the guilt and every once in a while looking over the horizon and seeing Israel and seeing what he should be doing, and I'm sure there was that guilt and like, what am I doing here? That's all you need. Just go to God. Don't wait. Don't wait until everything crumbles. Just go to God now. The broken heart. As if it had already crumbled. Because really, what David lost was, before all that, was way more important. He lost his walk with God. Well before he lost Ziklag. Well before he lost his family. He lost his walk with God. And that's enough to break a man who's ready to get right with God. Just do that. Cling to the Lord. Close. Tight. And say humbly and with full surrender, God, What do you want me to do? And then do it. You just watch how God fixes stuff and brings you where he wants you to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Lord, as we think of David, our hero, David, the one who slew Goliath, David, the greatest king, still recognized as the greatest king Israel's ever had. Lord, when the Messiah came, they called him the Son of David. And Lord, thankful for the testimony that David had, even through things like this. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Pray to help us, God, to be broken over our sin. Help us not just to be broken over consequences of our sin, but to be broken over our sin, broken over our lost walk with you. Help us to cling to you. Help us to humbly come before you and ask for help. I'm thankful that you're the faithful God. You're the God of mercy. And you're just like the prodigal son's father, waiting for us to come back empty and ready to hear from you. Pray that you break hearts today. Christ in my prayer. Amen.